This episode of the Citadel Cafe is brought to you by listeners like you. Visit patreon.com/thecitadelcafe to find out how you can become a patron and help make this show possible. This is the Citadel Cafe, episode number 183 for Wednesday, March 9th, 2016. My name is Joel Duggan, and the Citadel Cafe is where my friends hang out to talk about the geeky stuff that we are into. We talk about movies, apps, websites, games, books even. We like to read. Who knew? Joining me tonight, Lou Page is here. Welcome, sir.
Howdy, howdy.
Howdy, howdy back at you. How are things?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. I just finished dinner. I ate late tonight. I eat late every night, but normally I don't try to eat so close to the podcast. It's kind of like swimming and eating.
I understand. I had a similar issue with myself tonight.
Yeah. So the good news is I had leftovers, so I didn't have to actually fix anything. But I was out for the afternoon, and the bridge closure in Halifax causes a slightly delayed trip home for me sometimes. So I did not get home and did not sit down to eat dinner until 8, which is just an hour before the show. So I was starving too. So it was all I could do not to have a big meal. Like I had to just have like a little leftover spaghetti and a little garlic bread and half a beer and just pace myself, because otherwise I'd be like floating in pasta trying to podcast and it would not be a good scene.
No. Tonight we made Italians. It was quick and easy.
Nice. Nice. So you had spaghetti too?
No, not Italian. Italian sandwiches.
Oh.
Ham, cheese, vegetables and chopped veggies.
Nice. I haven't done a proper home like sub sandwich or Italian sandwich in a long time.
We haven't either, and we had half the stuff in the house and other half we just needed to grab rolls at the grocery store, and it was like, it's on our way home. We should do that, and then we don't have to cook and dirty any more dishes.
Yeah. I tend to eat that stuff a little bit more in the summertime, basically because my apartment is just garbage to cook in the summertime. It's too hot. So I tend to do more stuff like that in the summertime. And it's miserable and cold here today. I know, breaking the weather rule, whatever.
I won't share the weather here because I'll just make you feel bad.
Oh, yeah, you had a nice day, did you?
It's 60 degrees out here today.
Screw you, Lou.
And we're not that far from each other, so.
No, that's
it's
true.
It's coming your way. You'll probably get it tomorrow.
No, we're getting the other thing tomorrow. That is going to veer off to sea because we've got something coming down from like northwest. And it's just sleet, freezing rain, and bullshit all the way to Friday. So yeah, it's not gonna be a nice week, unfortunately. But hey, that means more time to sit inside and read, which is something that we were talking about before the show.
Definitely, and that's definitely something that I've been doing lately.
Yeah. So what? Just let's flip the show on its head. What have you been reading?
Okay. So, how familiar are you with the book Ready Player One?
Only through kind of pop culture. I've heard about it. I've heard it's good, but I haven't read it.
I would say I read a lot. I like sci-fi. I like geeky stuff. Mm-hmm. Ready Player One has been one of my favorite books I've read in the last probably 3 or 4 years. It's clever. It's inventful. It makes you think. There's so many pop culture references in it that it makes you smile. It makes you laugh. It does everything you wanted to want out of a story. And the author, Ernest Cline, wrote a book earlier last year called Armada, and it was supposed to be kind of in the same vein.
Mm-hmm.
And the basic premise is it takes place in the not too distant future, maybe 4 or 5 years from now. And this teenage kid is kind of a geeky kid. His dad died before he was born, and you know, he's plays a lot of video games with his dorky friends and finds out that aliens are coming, and all the video games that his favorite video game is a game called Armada, and his other friends, their favorite game is another game by the same company, and Armada is like a starfighter game.
Okay.
And come to find out, Armada and the other game were put out because the aliens coming and the government helped fund this game so that they could create fighter pilots for the future.
Have you ever seen The Last Starfighter?
The book even references Last Starfighter as this is going on. Like, he makes jokes.
Nice.
About, like, okay. So it's like Last Starfighter. And the reference is that his father, who died 20 years ago or 18 years ago, thought that that's what video games were created for. And he has a diary from his dad that's like, they thought his father was schizophrenic.
Oh, okay.
And what he finds out is that what his father's theories were true, and that for all these years, the government's been trying to prepare us for this oncoming alien invasion. Hmm. And the first half of the book was really hard, because if you've listened to Ready Player One, he recovets a lot of the same touchstones of Ready Player One, and you're like, oh, so this is Ready Player One, the other story. Okay.
Okay.
And then the book is broken into three acts. And once you get into the second act, the book becomes something very different. And you go, oh, this isn't just sci-fi. This is going in a sci-fi intellectual path. Okay, I get it now. But it just takes a long time to get there.
Something that I think I've been training myself over the last few years, partially due to Netflix, is the long payoff. I don't necessarily need reassurance from other people, but I'm certainly happier with a show as long as there's an inherent quality or some sort of interest. I'm happy with a longer burn, a longer setup, so that when things start to pick up plot-wise, or like you said, have a twist or an added value to it, that it's a better payoff.
Right. Well, and the thing is when I started this, a lot of the critics just said, oh yeah, he basically wrote the same thing twice, is what critics kept saying about this book. So I've been putting it off for a year, being like, yeah, I'll get around to it. Yeah, I'll get around to it. And then when I started it, I was like, oh, okay, I see where the critics were coming from. And my thought is that critics didn't finish reading the book before they wrote reviews. They read the first half and went, wow, this is a lot like his other book. Okay, I give up. But like I said, about a third of the way through the book starts to make a drastic change. And it's not perfect. I like Ready Player One better. I won't lie about that. But the last half of the book, it'll actually put you in tears. You'll be like, oh, whoa, that was not a feeling or an expectation I was expecting to have with this book.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's very rare that a book will have that effect on me. But that's good to know.
And when I say it's like he finds out that there's like a starfighter pilot or whatever, I won't spoil too much or anything at all, really. But he finds there's only like three or four battles in the book. And it's not like the whole book is like, and we go to this mission and we go to this mission and we go to this mission. It's really like they happen at key points in the book. And they're there for more for story purposes.
Nice. Yeah. I just, because there's something that movies tend to do better. And that's, you know, star battles and action stuff. Not very often have I read an action based book that was as good as I feel like a counterpart would be, like a movie counterpart.
Right.
Whereas some other books, I don't know, I'll use The Notebook as an example because it's the most anti-action novel I can think of. I mean, that really works as both. Like, that worked as a book very well.
Right.
And I would argue even better than a movie.
And like Ready Player One, this has been optioned for films as well. And to be honest, I think that this would be an easier story to tell in film than Ready Player One.
Yeah.
Because Spielberg is working on Ready Player One.
Interesting.
And there are references to him in the book. And he's already said in interviews the movie won't have references to him. Because he doesn't feel comfortable with that.
Yeah. I mean, Deadpool can break the fourth wall. I'm not sure if Steven Spielberg really wants to go down that road.
And speaking of breaking the fourth wall, too, I've done audio version for this and Ready Player One. And both both are read by Will Wheaton. Both books, I'm pretty sure they make reference to Will Wheaton. So it's really weird to hear Will Wheaton read what is character in the book is him saying something.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, this is kind of weird because Will Wheaton is reading me the book and his character has a dialogue piece. Okay.
How is Will Wheaton to listen to for an entire audiobook?
To be honest, he's very good. There's some early books that he did that aren't very good, but I'd say both this and Ready Player One, he does an excellent job.
Interesting. Because he is not somebody that I would pick to read my book.
No, I think these were done, I believe that the writer is a friend of his, so I believe that these were done because he's a friend of his.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, lots of respect to Will Wheaton. He does a lot of really cool stuff. I kind of find him like nails on a chalkboard. That's just me.
And he does do the voices, and the character is a teenager, so you basically picture the characters all looking like Wesley.
Wesley from Star Trek?
Yes.
Oh, good. I'm sure Wheaton loves that.
I'm sure he does, too.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, I feel like I've enjoyed the clips of Wheaton that I've enjoyed have not been performances. They've been clips from conventions. They've been answering fan mail, not like PR announcements or guest spots or stuff like that. I mean, like his part, I mean, I realize his part was supposed to be over the top, but his part on Big Bang Theory just drove me nuts.
I'm not a huge fan of his. I enjoyed him in Star Trek as a kid. You know, it was one of my favorite shows as a kid. So, you know, I obviously identified with the kid on the ship.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But, and as an adult, I've seen him in stuff I've actually enjoyed him in. I would actually say it's hard to find. ABC did a show called Fear Itself or something like that. It's Fear Something. I think it's Fear Itself. And each episode was directed by a famous horror director, and he is in one episode as a villain. And when you realize it's him that is the villain at the end of the episode, it's one of those things that make you go, "Whoa, he's the villain? I didn't see that coming."
Yeah, and I'm sure there's things that he's been in that I just haven't seen. I'm not so steeped in pop culture that I've seen all the stuff that he's been in.
Oh yeah,
and I also know that he's a talented writer. Like I know that he's done all. I've probably seen things that he has written or read things that he has written and just not realized.
Yep.
That he was a part of it. So yeah, interesting. I'm very picky with my audiobooks. There's some that I've listened to that are like audio productions and they're very cool. Read by someone I really enjoy. People, I can't remember their names right now, unfortunately. And then there's things like, you get spoiled with Roy Dotrice from Game of Thrones.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, and I know the Slack chat, I think there was a talk about me having not read Harry Potter with the rest of the patrons. And I think it was you or maybe Phil Rude that mentioned that they heard that the British version of the audiobook was much better.
I believe it wasn't me. I said that I wanted to listen to them in audio form because I've read them all in book form already.
Yeah. So, and that's the thing. I can't decide whether I want to read them in book form or whether I want to go the audio route. I mean, it depends on how busy I get, because the great thing about what I do, being at the drawing board, once I'm done writing a comic strip or writing whatever it is that I need to do, I can listen to a podcast, I can listen to an audiobook. That's how I listened to most of Game of Thrones, was once I finished the dialogue for the comic and I was just executing the drawings, I could just listen to the audiobook. It was great. And there's something, I don't know, there's something really interesting about listening to an audiobook while you're creating something visual. It's like, you know, you're using that part of your brain that's imagining stuff and then creating something on the page out of nothing, so that part of your brain is just like hyperactive, and then you're imagining, like, you know, dire wolves and battles and stuff, and it's super cool. One of these days I'd like to get around to listening to an audio book or listening to a show that's talking about the thing that I'm drawing. You know, like listening to, I don't know, like a Batman novel audiobook while I'm drawing Batman villains or something along those
lines.
See,
that's fun. I've tried to listen to audiobooks while I write a short story, that does not work. Because next thing you know, I'm writing the words that I'm hearing coming out of somebody's mouth and not the words that I want to be putting on the page.
That's the frustrating thing about some of my side projects right now, is that there's a lot of research and there's a lot of emailing and a lot of writing. And I can't listen to podcasts when I'm doing any of those things.
Right.
The only technical work that I've been able to master listening to a podcast while doing it is my taxes. Not taxes, my bookkeeping, like when I'm entering in receipts for the month and when I'm kind of tallying everything together to get ready for taxes. I don't do my own taxes. I have an accountant that I pay that does it, but like I have to get all this stuff ready for the small business. And those books, depending on the year, this year is actually really good because I stayed on top of things for 2015, but sometimes I've got several days of like just entering in data to kind of get everything ready and making sure all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. So I can listen to podcasts and do that. I tend to skip the very technical shows, like news shows I'll skip over, but more social commentary, video game stuff. If it's not heavy stuff, like if it's more of a social gaming podcast, I'll listen to it. Yeah. But not anything technical, like anything right now that I listen to about Heroes of the Storm, I wouldn't be able to listen to that because they get into like abilities and numbers and stats and I can't fathom it. So I've been meaning to ask you, do you play Heroes of the Storm?
Not really. Well, I have it installed and I jump in once in a while.
Yeah.
But I am not good. And
I feel like I need to get a team together of the not goods. Like I need a bunch of people that are just not worried about doing well and just want to go have fun. Still try to win, but be perfectly okay with losing a match and have it not be like, because it feels very different when you try hard or you're all trying to win and you don't. Because then everybody feels like, well, I could have done better. And that, you know, if you're new to the game, it's kind of frustrating. But the most fun I've had in the game is when everybody is just kind of like, well, I'm trying to figure this out, so don't mind me. And I'm just like, hey, I'm just trying not to die. You know, like just,
yeah.
And that kind of stuff I find really fun.
That's been my issue is when I try to play, I either have to play against the AI, which gets boring after a while, or I join a random game and I usually do mediocre to terrible. And usually everybody on the team is messaging me being like, ugh, you suck. It's like, how come you died 9 times in the last 3 seconds? I can't help it. I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm going to help defend a gate, and I get shot once, and I die. I don't know why I died. I shouldn't have died.
Yeah.
You know?
I think there's twofold. One is that never feel bad about playing the AI, because that can, you can make that challenging. And if you're doing that with friends, sometimes you can kind of get a handle on things. The hard part about queuing up with friends is that the way that the matchmaking system works, if you are queued with somebody, they will match you up against other people that are also queued together to balance the odds, right? And the issue is that if you're a bunch of new folk together, the chances of going up against other new folk is pretty slim. If you're all partied. Yeah. The other thing that you can do too is join an online community, like get into like the A-Move TV or the Frog Pants communities and get into the chat. And if you're just straight up open, like I've had some really fun games where I've just like, so Gazlo's free this week. I'm trying to learn how to play him. Anybody want to invite me to a match? I mean, it's straight up basically saying, I suck with this guy. I don't know what I'm doing. If you want to play with me, then let's do this. But if not, then hey, no problem. I'll wait for another match. So at least if you set those expectations, or say I keep on dying with this character. Any suggestions as to who I should play? I found that, because I had that issue that you have, is that dying a lot. And it took me a while, but I tended to go with start picking sturdier characters.
Yeah, I end up playing as, what's his name? The default starting guy.
Raynor.
I end up playing as Raynor a lot.
Yeah, no, he deals
Which
a lot of damage.
Gets boring after a while. You're like, it does. Okay.
Yeah, he gets boring, but the thing that kept me coming back to him was the resilience, right? He's versatile, and he doesn't die as easily as some of the other kind of heavy...
And you don't have to get in close with him.
No, that's the thing too. Yeah, he's also not a heavy position character. I mean, you still have to know where you should be, but you don't have to. Your winning and losing is not based on like being at a very specific spot.
That's my problem with MOBAs is there's too many rules, and I don't get to do what I want, and that's why I end up giving up.
Yeah.
I play like one match, maybe two, and then I go, okay, I've had my fill. I'm done.
Yeah. Have you seen Paragon at all?
I have not.
So I don't remember where I heard. I'm sure it was just mentioned on a podcast, but the in-game videos that they're touting online for what is the third-person view of this MOBA. So it's similar to...
Okay, I have seen this, but I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, it's similar to Paladins or what's the other one that's out? Smite?
Yep.
Is another one that's out. It's a MOBA, but it's instead of being a top-down, you're looking kind of down behind the character in a third-person view. But Paragon, like everything on their website, like this is a real in-game playable character. I'm just like, what kind of monster computer do you need to have to play this?
Welcome to Epic. That's what they do.
Holy crap. Like it, I mean, not only does it look amazing, it also looks like holy hell hard. Like watching this gameplay video, like I feel old. Okay. Like I'm enjoying my Warcraft right now. Once a week, sometimes twice a week, I can have a little bit of an evening to myself where I can chill out. I can eat a sandwich and play Warcraft, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, something is attacking me. I'm going to hit the one key and then I'm going to hit the three key. I'm going to stand here and not die or move to the left or right. And I'm going to hit the two key. I'm good. The orc is dead. We move on. The speed and ferocity that I'm seeing in this gameplay footage. So this isn't like trailer fluff. This is, you know, hard gameplay stuff. Is insanity.
Yeah.
I don't have the hand-eye coordination or the reflexes of, I guess, the modern 14-year-old to keep up with this. I don't even think I could watch it as an esport. Like, it's just way, way too complicated. Unless they have another camera where you're looking kind of top-down. That might be a little bit easier.
I'm sure they probably do.
Yeah, that's not to say that this isn't really freaking cool. I've always thought MOBAs were a little bit odd, and I never really quite understood them. I tried Dota 2, and I found it very overwhelming. Getting in at kind of like the ground floor in the beta on Heroes, I was able to kind of test it out. And Heroes has a very silly onset. Like it's like Hearthstone. They're like, so don't question why a space marine is fighting next to a dwarf. Like, don't think too hard about that. Like, they say that in a tutorial. So, like, it kind of keeps you light and fun, and it's a game. It's not pretending that it's not a game. The Paragon stuff, though, it really looked like it's monsters and ogres and stuff like that.
But and there's sci-fi. It looks like there's some magic in it, too. I see a guy that looks like he throws like an energy bolt out of his hand. So,
but none of them strike me as, oh, that's the insert stereotypical character here. Right. I mean, they've got the big ones, they've got the fast ones, and they've got the kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? The ones that look like they heal, the support characters. So you've got your damage dealers, you got your big tanks, and you've got your assassins and stuff, or your healers. But none of them really look super stereotypical, with the exception of maybe one that looked like it has angel wings that reminded me of Overwatch, but like that could be neither here nor there. But
right.
But most of them, when you look at the character designs, they really feel unique. And even if the profile, like the silhouette, you kind of read like, well, it looks like a bow and arrow kind of elf person. Once you kind of get in a close-up of how detailed everything is, and you're like, oh no, that's a sci-fi person with a bow and arrow. Like it's they've really kind of twisted things. So I'm curious to see if for nothing else, because I don't have a system that can play it. Two, I have already stated that I will get my ass handed to me. But just for the art direction and out of curiosity, like I'm really curious to see how this goes, because I watched several of the introducing this character videos that they've got on their YouTube channel, just for the pure, what does this thing look like when it moves? Like, I'm just curious. And the ninja character looks like ridiculous.
This definitely looks like something that Epic doesn't do things small. So when I see the scale of what they're showing here and the graphics, I'm not surprised at all. I mean, these are the guys that made Gears of War. So
okay, so I like Gears of War.
And this is very much in the same vein, it looks like, style wise.
Cool.
Guys in big heavy armor. The gun, some of this guns looks very similar to the machine guns in Gears of War.
I have a copy of the first Gears of War, and I've not finished it. I didn't play it very long, and I kept on running out of ammo, which I don't find fun.
No, that game is kind of, the first game is kind of notorious for that.
Okay. Well, if I know it's going to be persistent and it's not just me, then maybe I'll...
The trick is to keep picking up the enemy guns.
Ah.
Run out of ammo.
Yeah, I did that in Transformers. I've been recently trying to play through the Cybertron series.
Yeah.
And there's a moment when you can take down, I don't remember what they're called. They're basically a big robot, like a tank sort of idea. Mm-hmm. And when you kill them, they drop what is essentially a minigun in that game. Man, does it feel good to pick that up and just wail on bad guys. Like it just, and it, I mean, it's sci-fi. So it shoots faster than any gun that you've ever seen. And it makes a big noise and you have to lean sideways because it's so heavy, even though you're Megatron. Like it's just badass. And I forget how good it feels to pick one of those up and all of a sudden just vaporize everybody that's coming towards you.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Those games are really fun. I had forgotten about that. Oh man. Well, yeah. So that's one of the things that caught my attention this week. The rest of my free time has been spent on Netflix because I had completely forgot that House of Cards season 4 was coming out.
I'm curious. Are you enjoying House of Cards?
I really am.
Okay.
So I'm on episode 10.
I fell off about midway through season 3.
Oh, you got to push through season 3. Season 3 had kind of a weak middle.
Yeah, that's kind of where I am.
It was a weak middle and it started to get repetitive, I guess. It's one of those long burns that I mentioned earlier in the show. It's one of those things where you really kind of find something that you do like about it and follow that, and that will kind of get you through. And season 4, and I'm not going to talk about any spoilers because it's all just so worth everybody seeing for the first time. I'm on about halfway through episode 10. I couldn't finish the episode I was watching because I had a break because I was eating dinner and I had to come do this. But episode 1, maybe even all the way through the first and second episode, takes a while to ramp up. And you're kind of concerned that the storyline that ended season 3 is going to be all-encompassing in season 4.
Right.
It's not. It's not a spoiler, but I'm saying that just to make sure that you guys have no idea what's in store. And I feel like season 4 is much closer to season 1.
Really?
Yeah, it's like season 3 explored all of the faults of the characters. I mean, not that they don't have a lot of faults, but like it exposed all of the weaknesses, I think. Mm-hmm. In the characters in season 3. And in season 4, you're returning to what their strengths are.
Right.
And because of that, I mean, if I'm a nice guy, I never act on any of these things. I never, you know, it's just not who I am. But there's something really nice about watching Frank Underwood be an asshole and wishing that you could get away with that.
Yeah, but, you know, to be honest, my gripe and why I fell off on season 3 was... Season 1 and 2, it was fun watching him get to where he wanted to be.
Yeah.
And when you get this midway through season 3, it's like he got where he wants to be and no one will let him do it.
Mm.
And he got there and now he doesn't have a plan. And you're like, how did he get there if he doesn't have a plan? The plan was to get him there. You're telling me he didn't think that far ahead? Come on. And it just, and then everybody seems to be kicking him while he's down. And it's like, All right, I'm getting bored with this. Let's see him do something good. Oh, no, something bad's going to happen again. Oh, and another bad thing is going to happen again. And I was like, all right, I'm going to give this show a break. And I haven't gone back since.
Yeah. The thing that I find really interesting with this season is the relationship between Claire and Frank, mm-hmm. his wife, First Lady. It's the writing in the show... is so good. Like it doesn't smack you over the head with it. Like there's moments where they kind of stare at one another And only through the conversation, the length of that pause, and the acting, the silent acting in that scene, can you really kind of get the meaning. And I mean, you got to pay attention. It's not something you can sit down and like mess around on Twitter with while you're watching it. Like you got to really pay attention, because there's subtleties throughout the show that make a lot of sense. And I just love how, I mean, we talk a lot about regular cable shows beating you over the head with the plot. Like a lot of times Arrow, or sometimes even Flash, like just, you know, somebody's going to do a bad thing. We should probably stop them. And then the next person comes into the room. What? Somebody's doing a bad thing. He's like, yes, God, could you all just say the same thing in the next 5 minutes? But this doesn't do that. Like you're looking to find out what's going to happen next. And then they cut to a scene with another character. But then like on the television is that bit of information that you wanted. So you have to pay attention to what's on the TV in the scene.
Right,
playing in the background. And like maybe you're in, I'm not sure, you're in a diner or a bar, so there's a lot of noise going on, there's a lot of action in the front, but what you really need to pay attention to is that little blurb that's happening in the background on the television, right? It's like these little tidbits, these little breadcrumbs that they leave you throughout the show. And also just the camera angles and the way that they kind of handle everything, I've just been really impressed with. So I highly recommend it. If you can get through season three, then season four of House of Cards is great.
I will take that under advisement.
Anything else that you've been watching?
Well, over the weekend, a lot of shows haven't been updating. So my wife and I have been looking for something new to find. And we discovered on Amazon here in the U.S. under Prime, a show called Fortitude. And I discovered it because it stars Stanley Tucci. And I love Stanley Tucci. I don't know if you're familiar with Stanley Tucci. Have you seen The Hunger Games?
Yes. No, I have. I really like Stanley Tucci. Okay. He's been in something else that I really... What did I like him in? Oh, ironically, it's a terrible movie, but the fourth Transformers film.
Yes, he's awesome in it.
He's in it, and he's good in it.
Everything else about that movie sucks. He's awesome in it.
Yeah, yeah. He plays like a tech billionaire that's working with the Transformers.
And he nails the role, too. He nails it.
Absolutely.
But he's in this, it's a weird Sky TV show, and he's kind of a star, but not necessarily the star of the show. They have him on the cover of it when you browse it in Amazon, but it takes place in the Arctic Circle. And Michael Gambon's in it, the guy that plays Dumbledore in the Harry Potter movies.
Okay, right, because the other guy passed away, right?
Yeah, he's the replacement Dumbledore.
Okay, yep.
And it starts with Michael Gambon. It's the Arctic Circle. It's a small town called Fortitude. And there's polar bears up there, and everybody carries a gun, because if a polar bear shows up, you've got to be able to defend yourself.
Right.
And he's a photographer, and he takes photos on the beach. He's taking photos on the beach, and he turns and he sees what is a polar bear eating something. And he zooms in with his lens and he realizes it's eating a person.
Yikes.
And so he digs out his rifle and he aims and he's going to shoot the bear. And then he looks at the guy, and the guy ain't going to make it. And the guy is screaming in pain. So he shoots him in the head to put him out of his misery. And in the meantime, a cop shows up and waves and like is like waving to him to get out of there before the bear changes direction. And then it says 3 months later. And you're like, wait a minute. So what was that all about? And that's when you find out that it takes place in Fortitude, and it's a place in the Arctic Circle. Everybody, polar bears are a real threat, that kind of thing. And the show begins with two kids on that same beach. And they're digging in the ice, and they find what looks like a giant tooth. And when I say a giant tooth, I mean this thing is like the size of a kid's head.
Wow, okay.
So that's and you're like, wait, what's that? That looks like a tooth. And one of the kids brings it home, and their parent finds the tooth and is like, what is this? And from there, one of the parents goes, I can sell this to the research center. Because there's a research center digging in the ice, looking at like artifacts found in the ice.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy running the center is actually Christopher Eccleston, one of the doctors from Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, no, I'm not going to buy the tooth from you. You're going to give it to me. The Norwegian government that runs this little town here, any rights for anything that is found, there is no money traded. It becomes government property. And you have to give me wherever you got that. And the guy freaks out and runs away when he tries to, after trying to sell him the tooth. And shortly after, that scientist gets killed. And Stanley Tucci is the UK detective sent to figure out why this guy got killed and what he got killed over.
Hmm.
And in the meantime, he's also investigating the guy that got mauled by the bear. And weird things are going on. The mayor of the town is trying to build a hotel there.
It almost sounds like a Fargo.
It's kind of like a cross between Fargo and the X-Files.
Oh, interesting.
Because weird things start happening in town, and people start getting killed, and it's like, why are these people dying? And when you start figuring out who's killing people, you're like, it doesn't make sense. What's going on? And as it slowly starts to unfold, you're like, oh, this is weird. And you're hooked right after about, I'd say the first episode, you'll be like, oh, that was interesting. By the end of the second episode, we just couldn't stop. We watched every single episode back to back.
Wow.
And yeah. It's not long. It's like 10 episodes, I think, 10 or 12 episodes.
It's nice when seasons are short like that, when they can kind of keep things concise. I've been looking while you've been chatting, and I don't see a readily available way to watch it in Canada. I checked all the major kind of places it should be.
I'm sorry.
No, one thing I haven't checked, I don't know whether I can get Amazon stuff up here yet or not. I just, it's never been an option, and it always just ends up being another subscription I don't have the money for.
Right.
But yeah, I'll have to look in to see. It sounds interesting. Is it faster paced than something like Man in a High Castle?
Yes.
Okay. Cause that, I don't even think I finished that. I found that just horribly boring.
Did you ever see Twin Peaks?
I tried, and I can't say it grabbed me.
It's not as slow as Twin Peaks.
Okay.
But the, like, where everybody in town is kind of weird, this show has that, but it makes sense because they've just come from, like, where it's all night all the time, and it's now, like, all day all the time.
Okay, so they're close enough to the Arctic Circle that they've got, like, the 24 hours of sunlight, daylight, that sort of thing?
Yeah, and it's like everybody's kind of a little nutty. And at one point, one of the cops yells at a guy for wandering around without his gun and gives him his gun. And it's like, no, you can bring it back to me at the police station when you make it back.
Wow.
And you're like, this is a weird place. The cop just gave a guy a gun.
Yeah, that is strange. It's funny, like all this talk about bears and safety, and I mean, bears are scary, man. I mean, and polar bears are the biggest.
Oh yeah.
But it all reminds me of a story that I just read. I think it was Facebook of all places. I've got a couple friends that live up north, and they mentioned that bear number 122. I'm not sure why they won't give this poor bear a name, but he's one of the biggest grizzly bears in Banff National Park.
Yep.
Is officially out of hibernation. So it was kind of like this announcement to hikers and campers and everybody that's going to be doing things in the spring and summer that this guy is available and out there and after hibernation, probably hungry. But he is the 300 kilogram bear.
Yep.
For translation, that's like 660 pounds of bear.
Oh, yeah, and they could tear your car apart.
Yeah. That's frightening. I'm happy that the largest animal, I shouldn't say that. There's bears in Nova Scotia, but they're like black bears. They're little. They're still dangerous. Don't go near them. But like, they're not 660 pounds of bear. That's three of me.
It's an older story, but there is a story, and it's true. It's happened. I've seen the article several times because it's happened multiple times. There's a guy in Pennsylvania, and I believe he's wheelchair bound, and he lives in the country, and there is a bear in the neighborhood that has broken into his house and takes up on his couch, and he has to call animal control to get it out of his house. And he's had to do it like 4 or 5 times to the point where like it happens and the bear and him just look at each other and he's like, yeah, and he just picks up the phone and he doesn't even like hide from it anymore.
Weird. That would be terrifying.
Exactly.
I can't like, yeah, it's I'm surprised that, I mean, I realize that there's animal rights and all that kind of stuff, but when a bear is that comfortable around people, I thought the process was to put the bear down. And I mean, maybe there's an endangered species thing, or I think
there's an endangered species.
Yeah, thing. I don't know enough. Because I mean, like, if the bear is comfortable enough to go into a cabin and sit on the couch, how would it not be so comfortable as to wander in a campsite full of kids? Right. I mean, just, right. There's different situations that you're just like, that could be bad, very, very quickly. Yes. Right. Anyway, interesting. Right, well, I guess we can move on. One of the things that I have been listening to that I want to give a shout-out to is Let's Talk About Star Wars on amove.tv. I can't remember if I've mentioned this on the show or not, but it's a new podcast from Garrett Weinzierl, Tom Merritt, and Jenny Josephson. And they basically just talk about Star Wars. And they nerd out for about an hour. I think they release every 2 weeks, maybe once a month. There's only been 3 episodes since the new year.
I think it's whenever there's a big update in news, I think.
Yeah. No, so it's great because it's not something that, you know, it's not like another show you have to keep up on weekly. Like it kind of happens when organically it's right to happen. So they've always got lots to talk about. There's not a lot of fill. And this particular episode recently, they were talking about Rogue One, the new film coming out this Christmas in 2016. And they were speculating what that's going to be about, what their hopes are for it, that kind of thing. There's been some casting announcements, all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, it's fun. If you like Star Wars, if Force Awakens has kind of gotten your head in the game, so to speak, then it's worth checking out. Garrett is a friend. Tom is a friend. I haven't had the pleasure of meeting Jenny yet, but she is lovely and hilarious and really shines on this show. Like, she is a Star Wars nerd with a capital N, and I mean that with all the adornment that I could possibly carry.
This is something I've been meaning to add to my feed.
Oh, so. Dude, you really have to. I don't want to get too meta on the podcast thing, recommending other podcasts, but man, it's such a nice, light show. It's about fun stuff. And really, there's not a lot of news, so it's not like they're reading a lot of entertainment news or getting into that kind of stuff. It's really mostly discussion and it's mostly speculation because we don't know anything, which is good because I don't want details to be known, right?
Right.
And you're dealing with 3 people that are like uber fans in different ways. So there's a lot of detail. Like there's definitely insights and twists and things that you don't think of. And something that I found absolutely hilarious, which I didn't know when I added this to the notes earlier, because I was listening on the way home today on transit. My sister wrote in. And they read her email on the air.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, which is thought was pretty funny. They read her name and they talked about, you know, she's like, I think my brother might listen to the show. That's how she found it, something like that. And I'm just like, what? Of all the you know, cantinas in all the world, they read my sister's email. But it's fun. And something that reminded me, this show, my sister's email, the conversation in general around Star Wars, it's just so cool to see positive conversation about stuff. Like there's not a lot of griping, you know, like The Force Awakens wasn't a perfect movie. It was awesome, but there's lots of opportunities for the nerds to push up their glasses and get kind of schnicky about it. Right. I've been guilty of that myself, but what I find it as a whole, the community tends to be putting just a lot of positive stuff forward. It's just fun. Star Wars can be fun. You know, like it doesn't have to be super serious all the time. And I think that's something that, in general, J.J. Abrams was trying to do with The Force Awakens, is that get Star Wars to be fun again, you know, 1950s space serial with a modern feel, you know. But yeah, no, I highly recommend it. And you can check that out at amove.tv is the website, and all of the podcasts that Garrett does are there. But Let's Talk About Star Wars is one of them. You can check that out.
It's definitely being added to my feed as we speak.
Well, that brings us into the Internet Minute, which is brought to you by tweakedaudio.com. If you are looking for a new pair of earbuds, you can pick up some high-performance noise-reducing versions at tweakedaudio.com. You can use our code TCC at checkout for free shipping and 30% off your entire order. I recently found out that works overseas, so if you want to get them shipped somewhere, free shipping and 30% off is not bad. TCC at checkout, and the website, of course, is tweakedaudio.com. I'm going to let you go first for your pick this week, Lou.
Oh, sweet. So this is a video that I found maybe 20 minutes before we started recording. If you've ever played the Hitman games, they've tried to make two movies out of it. They're okay games, but a team as part of the promotion team put together a live-action Hitman video, where the viewers are helping the hitman wander through a thing and take people out in like a interactive film type project. And it's, I won't say it's perfect, but it's definitely fun to watch.
Oh, neat. So, I mean, I don't have the audio on, but I'm kind of getting a little bit of the video feed. So you've got like the users in the bottom corner, kind of picture in picture.
Yep. And they're watching the camera following the guy. And they're like giving him directions, and they have a map in front of them telling him what room to go to, or if he takes out a guy to change costumes with the guy and change his outfit.
Oh, neat. And so everybody in it is, all the people in it are actors, right? So all the people actually doing the filming.
Yeah.
It's very, like an, very cool.
It's very meta, and it's very interesting. It's clever.
Yeah. I mean, it's only 10 minutes long, and it looks surprisingly a lot like the video game.
Exactly.
That's really neat. I heard the film that they made was not very good.
Oh, they've made two in it. They're both very bad. and the second one is worse than the first.
Oh, geez. All right. Well, I'll skip those. I feel like they come up on Netflix or some other service. I'm just like, maybe I'll check those out. But no, maybe not.
Well, I had potential for the second one when I saw Zachary Quinto is in it.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently he's not the hero. He is like the geek in the, like the tech guy in the movie. I was like, oh, what a waste of use for him.
He would have been really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, as like the assassin, you mean.
Yeah.
The hitman, yeah.
In fact, I'm pretty sure the guy that's in that's the villain in Deadpool is in this movie too.
No, really?
I'm like, come on.
Wow. Oh, what was the guy's name? I don't remember the actor's name or the character that he plays, but one of the characters in Homeland was the lead in the most recent Hitman movie. He played one of the FBI agents that was helping the Carrie character in
Okay, yep, yep.
Yeah, he looks drastically different bald than he does,
yes, he does.
With hair. Because he's one of those guys that has like a lot of curly hair, so he really does look unique. With the bald head. I mean, I would argue that a lot of people look very different with a bald head. But unless you've always known them that way, then it's a drastic change. Well, my pick this week is in one part, repetition. I'm sure at some point I've mentioned artstation.com on the show. But one of the artists that I follow there is Jason. I really apologize, Jason. I hope I'm going to pronounce your name right. I want to say Nguyen, but I know that's not it. It's Nguyen or Yuyen. It's Nguyen. First name, Jason. He's fantastic. I've told people that I've been learning to paint in Photoshop. And as an illustrator and a comic artist, one of my kind of hang-ups with learning to paint is my ink lines are pretty precise. So my drafting is really tight. When I'm painting, I struggle with loosening up. I struggle with just kind of putting paint down, moving paint around. I mean, I'm speaking virtually, of course, but I'm not as loose as I want to be. I get sucked into doing little noodly things when I really need to focus on like the broader picture.
Yeah.
And one of the things that you notice right away with Jason's work is that it's very loose. If you know you're looking at a small image of, like, say, a knight fighting a demon, it looks like a knight fighting a demon. Like, you're like, yeah, okay, I know what that is. I've seen that kind of stuff before. When you see the full-size render, it's akin to a Jackson Pollock where he's just throwing paint at the canvas, which I know he's not. I mean, I know that there's a method and a madness to all of this, but it's so free to zoom in on what looks like a very cool, intricate amulet that's hanging around someone's neck, and realizing that it looks like a napkin doodle up close. And you're like, son of a, like, he really, I'm not saying he doesn't spend a lot of time on these, but the level of detail and the level of texture that he gets is because he just doesn't let himself get too tied up in anything. They're really, really fun. And on top of all of this, if you look at kind of concept art in general, you'll see kind of a wash of grays and earth tones and steel. And there's been a lot of dark, moody, cyborgy stuff lately in the forums that I've been circling in. So Jason's work is just beautiful. It's bright. It's colorful. It's like vibrant in a lot of places. And colors you don't normally see, like oranges and greens and like bright pink. There was a couple pieces he did that were almost all pink. He does some subtle stuff too. One of my favorites that he did recently was a kind of like a lion knight, and all of the armor was all crimson red and gold, kind of what you'd imagine with like a Lannister type of tapestry. But it's all very intricate and stuff like that. Lots of lions' heads and cats' faces and things. And that's all kind of one kind of simple palette. But some of the other stuff he does, like you'd be looking at this giant kind of orange and blue painting, but when you zoom in, like you're like, there's pink and green everywhere, but I don't see it when I stand back. Like it's a really interesting take on concept art. And you'd be doing yourself a disservice if you don't check out his website on artstation.com. I'm just going to go. It's Jason N, JASONN is how you can find him on artstation.com. And I will have a link in the show notes and some images and stuff to share too.
Very neat.
Yeah, no, I really
did some great stuff.
Yeah, it's beautiful stuff. I've got it as a screensaver on my Apple TV. Like when it goes to screensaver, it just kind of runs through a bunch of different artists, and he's currently one of the ones in rotation. Most of it is all people reminding me to loosen up. It's kind of my subliminal. I'm hoping through some sort of visual osmosis, I'll pick some of this stuff up and go from there. Right on. Well, that brings us to the end of the Citadel Cafe for this week. Every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern on thecitadelcafe.com is where you can find us live. Our mobile audio stream is provided by alphageekradio.com, and the music for the show was composed by Kevin MacLeod. Email the show at thecitadelcafe@gmail.com. Find us by name on Twitter and Facebook. Give us a review in the iTunes store. I've been checking, and we have not received any new reviews, so it's a super easy way for you to support the show. It doesn't cost you anything. We're just looking for a nice review, maybe with a comment if you want us to read it on the air in the store. And I do check both the Canadian and the US stores. So if you want to go ahead and do that, that would be fantastic. One of the things I mentioned at the very, very top of the show was some cool stuff that was happening in the Slack chat. If you'd like to partake, just become a patron. You can go to patreon.com/thecitadelcafe. It's a great way to kind of give a little bit of financial backing to the show. It helps pay for web hosting and editing software and new microphones and stuff like that when that comes up. But one of the rewards that we're able to do is give this little community a place to kind of hang out and do stuff. And I got to say, man, the Citadel Cafe does not have a huge kind of audience, but the vocal, minority that are in the Slack chat, it's super fun. There's so much going on. I can pop in there. It's not so busy that you get lost, but it's great that every day you can stop by and find something cool to read, something funny to laugh at while other patrons are jabbing at each other about this, that, and the other thing. I think I was arguing with Phil Root about Bizarro earlier, like all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's just fun, you know? So if you're interested in that, check out patreon.com/thecitadelcafe. There is a post there called Slack. You can't miss it. It'll explain everything. Your patronage is much appreciated. And to everybody that's in the Slack and contributing in that way, thank you. I mean, it's so fun. It's added so much to this show that I like doing. And I now get to kind of hang out with everybody throughout the week as opposed to just Wednesday nights.
Yeah, so. It's wonderful to just poke your head in two or three times a day when you got a few minutes and you're like, oh, look, there's like 3 pages of people posting here. Oh, what's going on? Oh, somebody made a joke. Here we go. I'll just add to that joke.
Yep. It has become something that I check instead of Facebook.
Yes.
Right? Like I was in the bad habit of checking Facebook. There's nothing I want to watch or read or see on Facebook. I go there to wish people happy birthday, and then I kind of check out. So having Slack chat kind of fill the need of quality content with cool people is amazing.
Without stating what I do for a living, please, people, use something besides Facebook, please.
Yeah. I can't go on Facebook because of all the American politics. It's not. I mean, the people that I follow in the art circles that I follow are mostly pro Obama, showing cool videos of Obama and then posting silly cartoons of Trump being an idiot. So it's not like I'm dealing with anything that I really disagree with. It's just the volume.
Oh, you have no idea, man.
It's just insane. I mean, like, somebody shares a funny video about Trump being an idiot. I guess they think they're the first to post it, you're not.
For my day job, I have to spend a lot of time on Facebook, and I have to browse random people's Facebook pages. And if you saw the stuff that I stare at all day, you'd be... It's enough to rot your brain.
Yeah.
I'm not even talking about people that I disagree with politically. Even people I agree with politically, I'm like, shut up.
Oh, it's the same thing. And it was the same but different when the Canadian election happened, because we've got a new prime minister.
Yes, you do.
And I like him a lot. And I don't really tire of the cool videos I see from or about Justin Trudeau. But they're presented in a very different light. I feel like there's a lot of snark happening right now with the U.S. stuff, whereas there's a lot of snark happening against the PC party and our former prime minister. I've already forgotten his name. Isn't that awesome?
Hey, it's all better.
Harper. I knew it started with an H. I'm tired. I'm having a blank. But yeah, like with him, there's a lot of snark and stuff like that. But like, just, I don't know. There's just, it just seems to be this endless ream. And I think what bothers me about the stuff in the States is that the election is nowhere near. Like, are we going to deal with this for the next year?
Nope. The Americans get their propaganda early.
Wow.
We do it for a year.
Yeah.
If not longer.
The only one that I saw that I really enjoyed was you guys are having an election, the rest of the world is looking at it as an IQ test.
Yep.
I found that quite funny and telling. Speaking of American friends, I have a spare room. If something drastic happens and you want to move to Canada, apparently that might be easier in the future. So heads up.
Yeah.
Yeah, our dollar sucks, but Trudeau's pretty cool. So there is that.
Company I work for is based out of Canada, so there's always that going.
Yeah, the thing that I kind of wish is it's just too bad that Trudeau is just coming in as Obama is just leaving.
Yeah.
You know, because this is Obama's second term, right?
Yes, he can't run again.
This is the end, right? So he's like, man, you think about the things, not to get super political on TCC, but the things that could have been accomplished had both of them been in power at the same time.
I both agree and disagree.
Yeah, well, I say that not knowing a hell of a lot about politics, but I feel like there's just, it would have been, you know, like if you got someone that the general public does not view as an idiot running a country, even if the politics don't align, at least they're going to be respectful, intelligent people.
Yes.
You know, whereas I don't consider Harper one of those.
No.
You know, so there's just, yeah. Anyway, moving forward, we hope for all of our American friends.
For better or worse.
Yep. Well, as I may have mentioned at one point or another, my name is Joel Duggan, and you can find everything that I am doing online at joelduggan.com. If you're interested in hiring me to do design or illustration or cartooning, then you can do that there. You can also check out starcrossedonline.com. I am back to posting regular comics. I'm doing everything in my power to make sure I have a comic up every week now with Starcrossed. I'm starting a longer series. Charlie lost his job. Oh no, what are we going to do? How's it going to end? I don't know. Go to starcrossedonline.com and find out. I'm serious. I have no idea. I've totally written myself into a corner. You're going to have to come along for the ride. And check out Comics Coast to Coast, my other podcast. You can go to comicscoasttocoast.com. If you like creative folk, then you will like that podcast. Where can people find you online, Lou?
The easiest place to find me is at BusyZombieLord on Twitter, or you can check out my show at Zombies Ate My Podcast, and we are on wherever you get your podcast. You pretty much can find us, so.
Fantastic. And I have to chime in with a comment from Growly Bear. I can't believe I didn't see this until just now. He is overseas, and he says that Jason's last name is most likely pronounced Inwen. So hopefully I got that right before the end of the show. You've been listening to The Citadel Cafe, where we are fast, easy, and cheap, but you can only pick two. Just don't pick Trump.
This podcast recorded before a live internet audience. To learn how to listen and watch live, visit tunein.alphageekradio.com.